So we're back. Today we're going to talk about how to lead a Bible study specifically in topic.
Okay.
In topic. So what, for example, we'll try this as an example. What does the Bible say about, and we're going to look at parenting, but you could put marriage, you could put family, you could put business, you could put money, you could put miracles, you could put angels, you could put
anything.
Like we doctrine. Our mini courses are like on this theme often.
Yeah. Theology topics.
Yeah. And really, actually, Theology 1 and 2 is really a Bible study about the topic of doctrine.
Right. And doctrine are really just the really, really big, important topics that the Bible talks about. Like, where did the world come from? Where is it going? What is this salvation thing? We call it soteriology.
Yeah, but it's really the topics of salvation.
Yes. So some topics are grand and comprehensive, and other topics are small. But what relevant topics do you have with your group? What's going on in the lives of the people? And then you could pick something relevant. Okay, so so let's say you do this. You don't have an off-the-shelf thing. We'll talk about how you can do this with books and off-the-shelf things. But how would you do it with a topic that you're interested in? So, for example, parenting. So the first thing you would do is search parenting or parent in the Bible.
Right.
So you can go to like Bible Gateway, it's a free site, BibleGateway.org or com, I forget.
Right.
And you can just, in the search button, you can put any word you want, and then you will get a list of all the verses in the Bible that use that word.
Right, and you may have to use words like father, mother, because parenting may not be a Bible word.
Discipline,
itself.
Or whatever.
Yeah, many, many things.
But that's where you start. You start with the word that you're trying to, and then you can use some of the derivatives of that. So I did this. I searched, and right away, these two were the first two. And there were others, but these two came up. Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Right.
Then Ephesians 6:4.
Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Okay. So you have, now you might come up with 10 different verses.
Right.
So then what do you do with these verses?
Okay. What do you do?
Well, you apply the techniques that we learned in session 2 and 3. And you write your own Bible study. Remember those techniques
you said? Yeah.
So what gets your attention as you read these verses?
Right.
So you go around the room. When you see the verse, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. What in there gets your attention?
And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord.
Okay, so So someone might say in the first one, well, a lot of people will choose, he will not depart from it, because they have a child that has departed from it.
Yeah.
And so they pick that, and it's very, but you see how it's very personal. They pick that because they have a child or a grandchild that has walked away from the Lord, and they pick that, that got their attention, because that's what they're concerned about. And then when you go around the room and talk about it, guess what they're going to share? They're going to share their heart about how their grandchild has walked away from the faith, and they've prayed and they've talked and they're on their knees and nothing is changing, and is God listening? Does God care? And all of a sudden you're into some pretty deep waters because you let them figure out what part of the verse. Now another one might be train, a young family. Okay, what does it mean to train up a child?
Yeah.
What exactly would you do?
Right.
So then they gravitate towards that part of the verse. So all the things that we talked about in session 2 and 3.
Now, I noticed that sometimes some preachers will have a topic, but then they really come into it through a Bible passage that, let's say, train up a child. But then they'll include all kinds of other Bible passages about that. But their kind of like entry into the water was one Bible verse.
Right. That Bible verse was the gateway to all kinds of other Bible verses related to that thing.
Right. And sometimes they talk about, like even preaching, exegetical preaching. But really it's a topical preaching, but it really comes in by one verse.
Right. And the reason why topical is so important, some people have an allergic reaction, for example, not with the Bible study, but certainly with preaching. Sometimes. They think following verse by verse is the only way, and they're afraid of topical. But we need people to think topically because, for example, I have a problem in my life. You know, do I move to another state to take this job or not?
Right.
I have to be able to ask, does the Bible have anything to say about this subject that I am right now facing? Right. Or your mother is, you know, in the hospital and you're praying, you don't know what to pray. Does the Bible have anything helpful on this subject of grief and letting go and all these things? So we live our lives, we have all these problems.
Right.
And why not have the ability to take from the problem and then find something? I mean, in a way, Jesus did this.
Oh, yeah.
He saw a problem. You know, life is like, it's like a sower. The kingdom is like a sower. He probably saw a sower, so he reacted to it. But the Pharisees said one thing, so he tells a story in reaction to the question. So he was always responding to the topical situation. Like,
how do you treat your neighbor? And then he goes to the story of the Samaritan.
Yes.
There once was a Samaritan.
Yes.
And there was a man on a road.
Right. Because
who was the neighbor?
Right. So people need to know what that is. Right.
The priest or the Samaritan.
Right.
The answer, the Samaritan.
Okay. So how about off-the-shelf topical Bible studies? So we have some of them. We have the CLI books. Here I've got a bunch of them, Henry.
Okay.
Here's a few I think by Dr. Fettes
has written some.
Here's a couple more.
Yep.
And here's a few more. What is Christianity?
Right. Well, you know, what's nice about this Christianity book, it's in the Christian Basics class, which is the topics of doctrine, the key doctrine.
Right.
And what's great about this one is it actually has a Bible study that picks a topic from the topics.
Yes.
So you might have a, you know, let's say you have a serious group of people who want to really go deep.
Yeah.
You can get this word of Christianity, and then you can say, well, we'll meet and we'll do the Bible study on one of the topics of the topics.
Yes, yes.
But, they're all here, and they're in our bookstore, but they're in Christian bookstores all over.
So a lot of books like this will have questions already in them at the end of every chapter, and that becomes a Bible study.
Yeah.
Some of them won't. But then you can apply those other techniques we learned. Well, what got your attention in this chapter? Why did it get your attention? What might God be saying to you? So you can sort of write your own questions if there aren't questions.
You know, I remember a technique that I taught in seminary, which is sort of what we're doing with you. They called it to think theologically. Now, what they really meant was, any topic, you have to somehow think, what does the Bible have to say about it? What is unsettled doctrine that is a really topical study? Let's say the doctrine of the Trinity is really a doctrine. Then
it's a doctrinal topic.
Yes.
It's about who God is.
Who is God.
And then you look at the Bible, and the Bible has a lot of different places that it talks about.
Right. So you have to come together and see, what is the Holy Spirit actually a Trinity in the Trinity? Yeah. Why and how? And so you and it took centuries to figure all this out clearly, and it was. Okay, so now you're resting on a theological topic, but now there's the biblical instances, and they're all factored in there.
Right.
But yet, to think theologically, and this is why you're doing the ministry training, is that you'll start like getting a feel for what is topical, what is an instance of a biblical teaching, what is practical life, and how the theology and the instances of the biblical teaching connect through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it sounds complicated, but when you're in it, it becomes second nature.
Yeah. I think
it's like a language. You learn the language of English, you just speak it.
I think like when I went to seminary, the topic of theology and doctrine, it was all sort of like otherworldly, because I didn't know exactly what it was, right?
Right.
But when I finally figured that theology is just a topic.
Right.
It's a topic, a big topic, and then you go to the Bible to find out what the whole Bible has to say about that topic. All of a sudden, okay, it's not that scary. It's just like parenting.
Right. It is.
It's just a bigger topic, like who is God rather than who is a parent.
Yes, it's incredible.
All right, so off-the-shelf topical Bible studies. We have books here at CLI. They're Purpose-Driven Life by Rick Warren is really popular. Yeah. The Heidelberg Catechism. Okay, we grew up with the Heidelberg Catechism. This is a Reformation document. Yeah. And there's 52 questions and answers that sort of go over the broad topics of the Bible, the big topics like.
And
what
most denominations have a catechism. Yes. Presbyterian.
Yes. But that's what Catholic, a catechism is, right?
It's a topical study.
We call it theology because the topics are big.
Right. One thing to know about that, a lot of the disagreements that come through church and denominations while they're separated are really the disagreements about the topics in the theology of what the Bible says
about that topic.
Right. For instance, I'll give you an example is some believers don't believe that there is a pope today that's head of the church. And the Catholic Church, of course, does believe that.
Right.
So where did they come to that? Well, they have a history of this topic discussion.
Right.
But then there's a passage that they each group interprets so different.
Right.
And that's that passage. On Peter, you are Petra. You are the rock. And on this Petra, I will build my church.
Petra means rock and Peter.
And Peter.
Petra.
Right.
Peter.
Right. Now, but what does Petra refer to? Does it refer to Peter, or does it refer to what Peter just said earlier when Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Right.
So, you are Peter, and on this rock, that is the Petra himself,
the testimony
that Jesus is Lord, what is the rock? Well, that is a theological difference, and both of them refer to the Bible, and that's that where the Holy Spirit and the reality, sometimes you won't have all the answers about everything and what is the right answer. And that's why we're very respectful of different traditions, because we ourselves know that that the Bible is really, really clear. But there are probably 15% of things that are the divides of baptism, the divide of, women in office, even professors here. Some people believe, like you and I believe that women can be ministers, but there are some professors here who do not believe in that. And there's different passages.
That doesn't mean that one believes the Bible and one doesn't believe the Bible.
Right.
And none of these are salvation issues.
No. Oh, that's a really good point. The salvation issues are in agreement. Actually, most of Christendom believe Jesus died for our sins.
Yeah.
He rose again for our victory over death. He ascended on high. He ascended on his Holy Spirit. Really, the Trinity. I mean, really.
The Apostles' Creed.
Reformed churches or Protestant churches say the Apostles' Creed. Catholic churches say the Apostles' Creed.
Right.
The basics.
Right.
Exactly. And that's our heart, as we say the Bible here, to see that we really agree on most things.
Right.
And where a lot of the disagreements come is how history, theology, the historical, political landscape of Europe, and then America or the mission field, all of these things. Now, where we would differ is on things like this. Is the Bible the Word of God? Yes. But many places make arguments that, the Bible is really just made up by man.
Right.
And there's where
the basic doctrines of the church.
Yes.
There's no disagreement over.
All right, back.
So you can do this topical way of doing a Bible study with any book.
Any book.
So any book that you're interested in. So where do you see the gospel story in this book? So you might read The Lord of the Rings or something.
Right.
And where do you see the gospel story in this book?
Right.
Tolkien was a Christian. Yeah. So how did he put his faith?
Lewis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where do you see a searching for the truth in this book?
Very interesting.
It might be someone like I read Marcus Aurelius, his Meditations.
Yeah.
And he was a Stoic philosopher. He didn't believe in Christianity.
Yeah, emperor, Roman.
But he was, searching. I remember as a young college student, I had to do a report on him, and I read his Meditations. And one of the questions I asked the professor, one of the things that bothered me was, here was a guy searching so hard, how come he didn't find God? That's
right.
What I asked him.
Right.
But, you know, that can lead to some really good discussion. Where do you see the lies of the devil in this book? So you
right.
can read a book that is so bad, but then,
right.
okay, fine, this is an example of what the devil is trying to do.
Right.
And that can be a teaching experience. How can this book serve as an inspiration or a warning to your life?
Yeah.
So you
wow.
can, any book, a novel, yeah. you can have a group that's reading novels together and you can turn it into a Bible study.
Wow, really good.
Movies,
yeah, they're really good.
You can make a Bible study out of movies. What anti-Christian values did you see in this movie?
Yeah, well, I remember one Bible study he had with teens, and that's basically what we did, because they had like certain path of their movies. And some people came to know the Lord through that study
right.
of movies and
right.
how Christ...
Right. Now, is it the movie itself that's saving the kids? No, it's the study...
Of the word,
the
of
asking
Bible.
The right questions to get to the theological underpinnings, because
yeah.
really there's one story, and every movie follows this story, and it's in the
right.
Bible.
Yeah.
So we can learn whether there's something good or bad from
right.
these things. And at the same time, we're teaching people how to be discerning
yeah.
when they read about
to
discerning.
Think theologically.
Right. Discerning when they read a movie. Because
right.
that what's happening in our culture today, especially with young people, they're on their phones, they're watching
yeah.
Videos all the time. But we haven't taught them perhaps to be theologically aware of what
right.
they're watching. So they're
right.
just taking it in like a sponge
right.
with no questions.
Right. Dangerous.
What verses relate to your observations? So you're watching
right.
a movie and you have this negative, I think this is not good. Okay, why? What
right,
verse
yeah.
in the Bible would make you say such a thing?
That's good.
What Christian values did you see in this movie?
Yeah.
Okay? And again, what verses relate
Zero.
To your observations? Maybe, sometimes.
Yeah. yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, there, even in a bad movie, like it'll be
thing.
A movie about gangsters and they're doing horrible things, but within the code of the gangsters is a love code.
Right.
We support each other. We
yeah.
back one another up. We.
What if the church would be a little more like that, right?
Yeah.
yeah.
So
they're
often in the middle of something bad. Because you know what? Something bad won't work unless they have some good things in
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. So we
right.
can point those things out based upon the biblical
right.
worldview
yes.
perspective.
And the bottom line is we're teaching people to be more discerning
yes.
when they take in things
right.
the world has to offer. Current events.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what current event in the world got your attention?
Right.
Okay, there's all kinds of crazy things happening in our world, and people are dealing with it. And a lot of times it's so negative that people are burdened by it. And to actually have a little study about it, people get, it's a sort of a cathartic thing,
yeah,
and it leads to hope. So why do you think it got your attention? Why did that
right.
thing?
Notice the pattern to these questions. What it got your attention?
Yes.
Why did it get your attention?
Yes. And then what do you
what
think God is trying
God
to tell you?
Right.
Event, right? Because
right.
there's a reason why this thing is bothering you or got
right.
your attention.
Right.
And God doesn't waste anything in
yeah.
your life. So God can teach you through current events. But again, in some ways, we're teaching you to, and you're teaching your group to think theologically
right.
about everything.
Everything. Jesus Christ is the Lord of every inch of our life.
Right. What scripture passages come to mind as a result of these current events
yeah,
that are
powerful.
Happening and you're thinking of it?
Right.
So now all of a sudden, people are putting passages of the scripture to everything in their life.
Right.
Songs,
wow.
secular yeah. or religious. So Amazing Grace. You could go over each stanza
right.
and talk about how, you know, what stanzas stood out for you? What does this mean for
well,
you?
Well, I think that songs, especially in the past, were like theological topics.
Yes.
Like, Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide is the topic of our mortality
right.
in face of certain death and
right.
what are you going to do about it?
Right.
I mean, that
very,
is like the topic.
Very personal.
Okay, and it goes through into the last stanza, before my closing eyes, you know, shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows sleep in life
and in death, O Lord.
Right.
And so
abide with me.
So, like, so wow. Some of us that are older are going, yeah, I see some of these vain shadows are fleeting.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm losing some of those abilities.
So right.
A lot of these songs will relate to people's lives.
Yeah, they will.
Okay, how about secular?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I got Bohemian Rhapsody and Show Me the Way by Show Me the Ways by Styx. And I actually have the lyrics.
There we go.
So this is from Bohemian Rhapsody, Queen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look to the skies and see. I'm just a poor boy. I need no sympathy because I'm easy come, easy go, little high, little low. Any way the wind blows doesn't really matter to me.
Well, you know, there are so many theological, I mean, things there. You got some proverbs in there. So, there, you know, what does it really matter? Look up to the skies and see. But then you also see despair in there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
and I think
a
lot. This is it's not only a really popular song, but I think it's an anthem of many young people today that they really,
right.
They're really living their lives by the wind.
Easy
the wind
come,
blows this,
go.
It blows that way.
Right.
What difference does it make in
right.
the end?
Right.
So I'm going to grab what I can right now while I have it and let the chips fall where they may. Well, a lot of young
right.
people are living quiet lives in despair. The suicide rate
right.
has never been higher. And I think it's this mentality because people are letting go of God.
Well, it's also, too, in the first line, is this the real life or this just
right.
fantasy? Those are two philosophy. There's modernism and postmodernism right,
right
in one sentence.
Right.
It's probably why everybody identifies with the song. It's
yeah.
a song that's into the zeitgeist, we call that, of how people think.
Yes. So here's another one. This is by Styx, Show Me the Way. Every night I say a prayer in the hope that there's a heaven. But every day I'm more confused as the saints turn into sinners. All the heroes and legends I knew as a child have fallen to idols of clay. And I feel this empty place inside. So I pray that I've lost my faith. And then he goes, show me the way. Take me to the night, to the river, and wash my illusions away. Please show me the way. Now,
yeah.
I think that, like, that chorus is so
powerful.
Because
it, yeah.
I think this is where people are
heart,
at.
A searching heart. Yeah.
Yeah, that people are looking. And it could be people in your Bible study.
Yeah.
That, they're facing certain things in their family. Lord, show me the way.
Right.
Or they got some difficult decisions to make about their future, and I don't know what to do. Show me the way.
Right.
And so these secular songs, because these are people, some of the secular people are still God's people.
Right.
They're created in His image, and there's that He placed that sense of eternity in the heart of
men,
people.
Yeah, and women. Yeah.
So they're going to communicate some of these things. These are universal thoughts and feelings that people have. So you can have a Bible study on songs. So what are we trying to show here? We're trying to show that any topic that
right.
comes to you anyway, whether it's a book or whether it's television or whether it's the news or whether it's art or whether people went to a play, it's like we need to help people think theologically and biblically.
Right.
Like, there's nothing that God isn't in, and there's nothing that God isn't interested in your life, and everything can be turned into a theological or biblical
study.
Discussion.
Yeah, I love that.
All right, so we'll meet again next time.